Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I don't want to get into all that politics. DeSantis, whoever this guy is, and they have the most grumpiest looking photo ever. This guy is starting to build his stature in 2024. And he says he disagrees on mask mandates. These kids aren't wearing masks. The amount of people who not only don't even own a microscope or even have a pair of scrubs, you know, unless they went to some Halloween party, who are literally questioning doctors. It's just, at this point, it's just hilarious. What do you know? These fucking pieces of politicians, he knows that that's what his fan base wants him to do, so that's what the fuck he's going to do. Unbelievable.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no one admits it, and you say, like, hey, Mike's going to replace somebody, this is going to be, who is it going to be?
I would probably get rid of, I would keep Anna and Will, because I think they're both good. I would get rid of that show. We'd probably put some syndicated programming on it, it was cheaper, and then I'd add them to different shows.
Oh, okay.
I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough, for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM if you're in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. My name's William Lewis Koontz. I'll be with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Anna Hummel will be joining me very shortly. I got a lot of stuff this week. I can't even pick one thing that I want to talk about. So many things happened this week. That clip at the beginning of the show there, that was one of my favorite comedians, Mr. William Burr, Bill Burr, actor, comedian, fun guy all around. Good follow on Twitter, talks about the sports. I like to harass him because he's a Red Sox fan, and, you know, Rays are doing pretty good, Bill. Just like to remind him of that. I'm sure he's aware, but, you know, it's fun to harass people. That's what Twitter's for, is to harass people. That's what it's all about. And Bill Burr took to his podcast. I used to listen a lot. I actually haven't listened to it in a long time. So many other things. So many podcasts. I don't even know why you listen to this one, but thank you for doing it, because there's so many good podcasts out there. He decided to open his show last week with a kind of a rant. Now, they, you know how these outlets do things, corporate outlets do things. They kind of just frame the issue. And he started out by saying, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how you news people, you know, keep up with everything. And boy, is it a struggle to. I've kind of given up hope that I'm able to. I know that I'm wrong about a lot of things, but I'm doing my best, as a lot of us are. And he started going through, it looked like a newspaper or something. He started picking out things. Oh, the migrant issue at the border. Oh, there's Ron, whoever this Ron DeSantis guy is. Oh, what is he doing? He criticized him a little bit because Ron DeSantis, our governor here in Florida, has put in some mandates, anti-mask mandates. And, you know, he said, what are these guys doing? You know, they don't own a microscope and they're literally questioning doctors. I guess, but also he's not just getting this information from him. It's not a gut, you know, reaction on his end. He's talking to doctors about this stuff. And I think that's where a lot of this stuff is lost on us, because we don't think it through. We're not able to see one step ahead, a lot of us anyways, the consequences for these actions. You just go, well, there's a problem, we'll do this, we'll solve it, but there's not, you know, some sort of grand solution here. There's going to be variables that will affect that decision. And then you have to think about, well, what is this going to do? And, oh my God, I don't know who's equipped to do it. Politicians are people, doctors are people, and they make it very clear, you know, in their statements daily. So Bill, yeah, he's trying to find content every week. He's trashing politicians, which I don't mind. I agree with him 100%. I think most of these people, if not all of them, are demons from hell. And he went on to, you know, talk about anti-maskers in general, saying that people won't put a mask on for 3 minutes to walk into a 7-Eleven to buy beef jerky without feeling like they're living behind the Berlin Wall. Yeah, that's true, but there's a lot of other things. I got into Johnny and I covered for the midday show on 102.5 The Bone this week, Roger and JP, and I knew it was coming just because Monica is the third mic on that show, producer, board op. And she has a very specific point of view on a lot of things and is not really willing to budge on those things. And we're on a talk show, so we have to talk about stuff. And unfortunately, COVID is one of these issues. I'm a little more open-minded with, not trusting politicians and a lot of these doctors who are in national positions, like Anthony Fauci, for example. And she is. And I understand, you know, her point of view. I'm very familiar with it, and it makes sense to me. You know, a lot of it's just easier, and I totally get that. But there's kind of just you're not listening to doctors. Okay, well, you know who else isn't listening to doctors? Doctors. I found this article today. There's this, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook. There's a social media service platform for doctors, okay? It's a LinkedIn for doctors. Called Doximity, Doximity. And this is from the Becker Hospital Review.com. And they say it's riddled with COVID-19 vaccine misinformation. Things are just going great. Things are going great. And this is the thing. Whoever's in control of the regime controls narrative, and everything else is misinformation. And anybody who steps out of line and contradicts that narrative is spreading misinformation, including doctors and scientists. So they talk about following the science. They mean follow the science that the regime has a control of. That's what they mean about this. Doximity is home to 1.8 million members, including 80% of U.S. physicians. The platform lets users connect, share research, stay informed on the industry trends. Dr. Paul Malarick, he's a retired psychiatrist who helps administer COVID-19 vaccines at pop-up clinics in California. Why is a psychiatrist doing that? I don't know. I guess you're just managing, but I don't know. A psychiatrist? That's weird. He told the network that he sees anti-vaccine comments from physicians on Doximity's platform. He says, you rarely get to the level of microchips in vaccines, but there's a lot of stuff that's pretty close to it. They're actively working against us, he said. Okay, here's the thing about the microchip thing. Not to get too deep, not to get too far in the woods here. I know a lot of you are rolling your eyes, but if you're listening to this, you're probably pretty cool. You understand the deal. Check this out. Okay, this is from Vice magazine here. I took a screenshot of it, and I was like, this is just unbelievable. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so it says, this is Vice, a few days ago. It says, in this episode of Technologic, we meet the engineer behind a new injectable microchip and discuss its potential for medicine. Hello? You know what I mean? I mean, come on. You get called a kook, and then it's just right out in the open. And you go, look, though. And you go, nah. And, you know, this is a thing that people like Alex Jones used to talk about in a very verbose and hyperbolic way. And now it's just like, uh-oh, Alex Jones might be right about some stuff. And that's making some people roll their eyes, too. But I got it for you. If you want to see it, I can show it to you. It's on Vice.com. Their news. It's just very frustrating. Doximity's membership is restricted to practicing U.S. healthcare professionals. Okay, so these aren't your MAGA uncle going on Doximity and sending QAnon posts or putting QAnon posts on Doximity, okay? These are other doctors and scientists that have an opinion about COVID and freaking the treatments and the freaking vaccines, okay? But it doesn't go with the, quote, the science, TM, trademarked. So they're spreading this misinformation on this. I don't know what to believe. People call into the radio shows and ask, well, what do you guys think? Don't ask us. You know, we'll talk about it. We have opinions on things. But please, God, do not take medical advice from two morons on nighttime radio who are probably going to die of COVID. I beg you, please. It's a tricky area for us. You know, you get thrown offline. I'm afraid of talking about COVID on the podcast because it's got the algorithms will pick up these key words and then I'll get my podcast thrown off of YouTube or whatever. I don't really put it on YouTube. I used to, but I mean, I don't want to get banned or whatever. So you're trying to walk this, but I'm not saying anything crazy either. If you want to get the vaccine, do it, man. I don't care. Please don't ask me for my advice on it. But we have to talk about it. It's big news. It's where we do a talk show. We do a talk podcast. People are tired of it. I get it. I'm tired of it. But this is just the reality of the situation. So, you know, we have to talk about it. I got in a fight with Monica, and it was weird during the breaks. And, you know, I'm not a mean person. I'm usually not a mean person. And I don't want to, I advocate for, let's just go our own ways here. I'm not going to convince you. I don't think, I'm more open-minded though. If I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. I didn't really understand what she was saying. And we kept going around in this circle about the vaccine. And I was saying, yeah, but you could still spread it. You know, and she would say, yeah, I know, but you should still get it because of the, and I was going, wait, hold on, hang on a second. And she said, you're less likely to spread it. And I go, I don't know. And keep in mind, we're on a talk show here. So I go, I don't know if that's true. And that set her off and got her upset. And then she got mad. So I decided to look it up during a break, CDC website. And it says, yes, you have a less chance of contracting it and spreading it. They don't say by how much. They just say less. So, okay, I'll concede that and say, you were right. I'm sorry. You were right on that fact. Now, by how much you're right, I don't know. There's not a number there. But, you know, I have a doctor. I talked to my doctor. I got an antibody test. I had it in October. Did pretty well with it. You know, I've talked about it many times. And I'm not vaccinated yet. Now, I have still had the antibodies. They, for some reason, don't have a test to tell you how many. That just seems weird. Seems like you could count them somehow. But no, they don't have that test. But he's advising me to to get it. And I might do it. I don't know. This is what I have a doctor for. And I'm lucky enough to have a doctor, because a lot of people don't. So I don't know. There's this woman, Susan, that called in, and she's a doctor and down in Bradenton. I looked her up. She's legit, real deal. So maybe I'll have her on or something, and she can, I don't know, answer some of these questions. But it's very confusing. But this is what I mean. Doximity. There's doctors here who are disagreeing with each other, being accused of misinformation, but they're not. Like I said, they're not your MAGA uncle. They're doctors. So is it misinformation, or is there... There's no consensus ever. That's another word that drives me. It's, oh, the science is conclusive. No, it's not. It never is. We're always getting new information, figuring this stuff out. Dr. Merrilick from Doximity said he viewed several comments posted by people with credentials such as MD or DO. And in the post, the users refer to vaccines as experimental, unproven, or deadly, and occasionally write Fauci, meaning Fauci. And they replace the C with an X, the kind of faux, you know, little dig there. I'm referring to Anthony Fauci, the White House chief medical advisor. CNBC cited dozens of screenshots shared with other physicians, sharing their experiences consistent with Dr. Mallarick's. These show articles about vaccines are masked with hundreds of comments, and they say that many are factually incorrect or based on conspiracy theories. You know, that's another thing they do. Everything is it's a conspiracy theory. Here's some data. Nope, that's a conspiracy theory. Shut the door. I don't know what they look like, though, so maybe there are just kooky QAnon doctors out there. I don't know, man. Doximity doesn't let users post stories. Instead, it shares articles from mainstream news outlets and medical science publications, which are then customized based on the user's area of medical expertise and other personal details. So this is stuff on... So what are you talking about then? This is stuff that's legit, that they've fact-checked, right? Doximity doesn't let users post stories, so they can't go to 4chan and pull a story. Instead, it shares articles from mainstream news outlets and medical science publications. Okay. Users are allowed to comment on news articles, which is where the misinformation can occur. For example, a recent article on mask mandates for kids received comments from some physicians who oppose the COVID-19 vaccines. According to the report, a general surgeon commenting that masking children is absolutely ridiculous and a form of child abuse. Another said 50 years of data accumulated by the CDC and the WHO demonstrated those masks. It made no difference. None. They also don't refute this in this article. They just say it's fake. Okay. Doximity's rules prohibit misinformation and list 11 things in its guidelines that can lead to content being removed, including spreading false or misleading information. In a statement to CNBC, the company said it strictly prohibits posts of medical information. But these are by mainstream trusted outlets, right? Doximity held its initial public offering in June. It's now worth more than $10 billion. I don't know. Things are going great, guys and gals and babies out there. I don't know what to tell you. Just don't ask me. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. Go donate. I'm going to lose my job soon for spreading misinformation. We all are. So if you have a job, go there. You don't have to. I'm kidding. But if you want to, it is there. PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, all that good stuff is there. If you're enjoying this program, it is. I do it for free. I don't get paid by... you know, Radio St. Pete, or, you know, I do have the one sponsor, Truvy Salon and Spa, but that's it, you know, and it's not much. That's a friend of mine's shop who I like her, she likes me, and, you know, we help each other out. So other than that, I do this for free because it's fun, and I do a radio program 5 nights a week. So it's a lot of content from your boy that I'm also not very well compensated for, embarrassingly enough. So, hey, if you want to do it, it's there. Great. You know, you don't have to, obviously. And there's still merch on the website, HMB Radio hoodies, shirts. Maybe I'll make masks again since they're being made, you know, mandatory again in some areas. Maybe I'll put the masks up there. You can get HMB Radio masks, hats, all that good stuff. HMBRadio.com/shop, HMBRadio.com/news. I've been really bad with putting news articles up, but I was doing that pretty regularly. Short to the sweet. short and sweet and to the point. So it's not going to waste your time with a bunch of bull crap. Just what you need to know. And in a fun way and funny way, I hope, anyways. And yeah, you can get a hold of the show, 813-693-2124. If you want to get a hold of Anna or myself or both of us, questions, concerns, comments, that's the way to do it. And Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter for me. And Anna's Anna Hummel Radio. Follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE everywhere. Facebook, all that stuff. HMB Radio on Facebook. HMB Radio, all one word, on Facebook. Like that page, share the stuff. You know, if you don't want to give me money, then at least share the stuff if you're enjoying the show, because that really does help out. 813-693-2124. You got it? Good. Let's talk to Anna.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
Often I'm asked, am I a hero?
I'm sure.
And I don't know how to answer that, but I can fully...
I can answer for you.
What's that?
Let's just move on.
Answer's yes.
Okay.
The answer is clearly yes, and I'll tell you why. I saved a man's life.
Okay.
Saved a man's life this weekend. I really don't like how it happened, but I saved a man's life.
Okay.
I was drinking all day.
I believe it.
It's the weekend. I'm in beautiful Gulfport, and I see a guy in the neighborhood, in his driveway, in his truck, and it looks like he's been there a while. There's condensation on the windows.
Okay.
And he's face down in his steering wheel. And I'm kind of going, I'm with some people, I'm kind of going,
What time is this?
5, 6 p.m.
It's light out.
Light outside.
Okay, all right.
And I'm going, what should we do here? And it was shocking because one of the guys I was with said, I don't know, let's just keep going. And I'm thinking, if I didn't have any drinks in my system to kind of give me courage, that liquid courage,
mm-hmm.
I think I might have kept walking.
Okay.
Because I'm, you know, it's scary. It's a situation that you're walking into. First of all, potentially a lot of paperwork that you'll have to do.
Yes.
And
now, I'm sorry, is he you said he's parked?
He's parked in his driveway.
In his driveway, okay.
So I go, let me see if I could just, maybe he's just asleep. So I go and knock on the window, nothing. Banging on the window, nothing.
No response.
No response. So I'm going, all right, well,
let's call
911 now. Now I'm in it. Call 911, guys, you know, nice on the phone. Where are you? Give him the address. And he goes, okay, can you open the car door? I went, oh, I don't really want to do that. Because, I mean, you got to think, this is Florida. Let's say he is napping,
uh-huh.
And somebody opens his car door, you might get shot.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to get shot.
No.
So, uh-huh. I'm going, okay. So,
but you were banging on the door and there was no response.
No response.
So I'm thinking, if he's napping, he's going to wake up from that. So.
Right. So, I'm like, okay. So, thankfully, I had liquid courage. So, I opened the door.
It was unlocked.
Unlocked. And he's saying, can you see him breathing? Yeah, I could see him breathing. Okay, I need you to pull him out of the car. I don't want to do that.
Is he a big guy?
Big guy, yeah. Big guy. Probably in his mid-50s, early 50s, somewhere around there. And I'm like, okay. Plus, what if I hurt him and then he sues me? That's sure. Another thing. So there's
there's a good Samaritan law that protects you against that, especially if you're on the phone with 911, but I understand your concern.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. So he said, okay. And I went to go try to pull him out and he woke up.
Good. Scary.
But now I'm like, whoa, whoa. I was like, hey, I'm just checking on you. You know, you were unconscious here. And, you know, we're on the phone with 911 right now and he's messed up. It's pretty clear. I didn't know. Maybe he had a heart attack. Thought it was more likely probably opiates.
Yeah.
And I think I was right with the opiates thing. And he goes, well, I'm just napping in my car.
You're like, do you live here?
Listening to the radio. Well, no, I didn't. I was like, we're just checking on you. We were worried. You know, we just saw a guy face down. We wanted to make sure he didn't need help. We called an ambulance. Now he's mad. Now he can't do anything really because he's so messed up, but he's not happy with us that we did this. And sure enough, the fire truck comes in And, you know, I'm talking to him like the 911 operator. I'm just saying, well, he's up now. And they're like, well, that's fine. You know, you did the right thing. And if he doesn't want us, if he doesn't want help, we'll just, he'll sign a piece of paper and we'll go. So I don't know what happened to him after that. I'm assuming he signed the piece of paper. And
so you didn't even stay for,
no,
you were out.
I wanted to go because I was afraid that he was going to be mad.
Okay.
You know, I didn't want him, if he's coherent enough to
get mad,
know, get scream and start yelling and tell him mind my business and stuff. But, you know, it's probably only a matter of time before that guy dies if he keeps up this
lifestyle. Yeah, it'll happen again.
So I wonder what I would have done if I was in a better frame of mind, more coherent frame of mind, if I would have just kept walking or not, which kind of scares me.
Because that's interesting that you said more coherent and you would have intervened less.
Yeah. Right.
But I get it because it's a lot of risk on your part because you don't want to get sued. You don't want to get shot. You don't want to get hit. You don't want any of that thing, you know, nothing bad like that to happen to you. So you kind of got to, you know, just do a cost benefit analysis on the spot.
And it's just getting involved, you know, being somebody that gets involved in other people's stuff. Business. I got the lunatic down the road.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it on this show that has her whole house was inside, now on the outside of her home. She's obviously mentally ill.
Sure.
You can't do anything about it.
No.
I've never called the cops on her or anything. And I found out there's not really anything they can do. Mm-mm. If they're not, I can't believe there's not a code issue or something where a fire hazard or something where they couldn't get involved. But again, not my business.
Yeah.
You know, she's down the street. It's not affecting me at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this person, I don't know. I have no connection to this guy.
Doesn't matter. He's still a human being.
Right.
You know, and in the event that, you know, what if you left him there and he did die? And not that you would even, maybe you would hear about it. Maybe you wouldn't. But still, like, just not knowing, damn, like, I didn't do anything. Maybe this guy died if I would have just opened the car door. Like, what if you didn't wake him up? Like, what if he self-asphyxiated? What if you moving him around kind of jolted him awake? You know, what if that didn't happen and he died? Again, he may die next week doing the same stuff. But nevertheless, I feel like at least you could sleep at night going, I did all that I could. And I think that's important.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel about it. I took action. I was there. I'm a hero.
Okay.
I should be rewarded greatly. Probably won't happen. No, I'm being facetious, of course. But like I said, the thing that was most troubling to me was that I don't know if I would have done it if I didn't have, you know, six beers in me.
I understand.
Which is makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Can we switch gears to a lighter topic that you kind of prefaced that I really, really want to get into?
Absolutely.
Please, go ahead.
So I think this might have been the same day, actually. No, maybe it was the next day. But anyway, same weekend. Big weekend for me. Lots of juicy. I was excited because I had so much content. I actually have stuff we're not even going to be able to get to today because of time.
Uh-huh.
But this one was a friend of a friend, I would describe her. I don't want to give too much detail. A friend of a friend.
Okay.
That's all I would like to say about it. And
Sally.
That I had run-ins with, and I think we even talked about it before, you know, where I got accosted by this person before the election because she wanted me to vote for Joe Biden.
Right.
And was, you know, giving a very passionate speech about how she feels unsafe in this current world that was commanded by Orange Man. May he rest in peace, President Orange Man. But anyway, so she's kind of a kooky lefty, I would describe her as.
I knew it from the moment I saw her. I think when I met her, she had like remnants of blue hair.
Yes. Yeah, that's how you know.
She's an SJW.
Yeah. Nice person, though. I've always got along with her fairly well.
Nice when you're in agreement.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know if that really counts as nice, because it really, your true colors show through when you're in conflict or you're in disagreement with someone. How do you treat them then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
not
agree.
Not just the people you know, because you treat everybody nice when you're in a good mood, but how do you treat people when you're not in a good mood? Do you just have a standard that you're just polite to everybody, or are you a POS, you know? So
true. True, true, true.
But anyways, go on.
So, you know, I've always gotten along semi-well with her outside of if she had some drinks, maybe, and then she was concerned about politics. And if you're not in full agreement with her, then you're against her. And we've had run-ins in that occasion. I happened to run into her at a local brewery. And I said, oh, well, sit down, you know.
Were you alone?
I was not alone. I was with a few other people.
Okay.
And she, you know, she sat down and we were hanging out. And actually, the other people ended up leaving. So it was kind of just me and her.
Oh.
And my other friend.
Okay.
And then she had a few drinks, so she was feeling, I guess, open. I would say she's an open person.
Yeah, she is. I know this person.
Very open person.
Yeah.
From what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
And she was telling us how she had an experience, a lesbian experience, with a friend of hers.
Okay. Do you know the friend?
I met the friend.
Have once. I met the friend?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
And she was telling me that this happened, and she didn't feel good about it. But she was also, you know, I asked my other friend that was there if about this, what I'm about to tell you, and she said I'm probably kind of breathing my own life into it a little bit, maybe. Okay. And I was drinking, so maybe it's not as bad as I think it is, but I got the impression that she felt like she felt obligated to have lesbian sex because of her politics. Because she wanted, and I remember her saying something about heteronormativity, and
that was a word she used.
That was a word that she used during this whole thing. And she's one of these people who want to crash the system and do things differently.
Yeah,
and traditionalism is bad. And yes, like everything
so
old is bad.
If she's so pro gay, queer, whatever. Yeah. Why did she tell you that she felt guilty for having this experience?
It wasn't guilty, and I guess.
Or why did she feel bad, or why were there negative feelings? Shouldn't she be, like, proud of it and boasting about it? And
well, she just didn't really like it. She just didn't enjoy the downstairs region.
She told you everything that she did.
She said, oh, yeah, in graphic detail.
I wish I was there.
Downstairs, just laying carpet, man.
Okay.
Eating it up.
Yeah.
You know, having a great time. Not really. Not a great time, though.
And so what did she say? Like, what exactly did she say? She said she didn't enjoy it as much as she thought she would. She said she would never wanted to do it again. She said she felt dirty.
Well, she just said that she liked male genitalia, and she couldn't help it. Like, it was a bad thing. And I had to say, like, you're completely normal. Like, that's not weird at all. And it was almost like she felt bad that she liked male genitalia so much and didn't like female genitalia.
Yeah.
Because she's very supportive of, that lifestyle.
Sure.
And so much so that she feels like she might need to do it. Now, there is a trend about, you know, well, this is a lot of trans stuff, not to get too much in the weeds here, but if you don't aren't attracted to, let's say, a person who was born.
You weren't willing to sleep with someone who is trans, then you are transphobic.
Correct, right? Yes. Even if that woman has male genitalia.
Right.
Currently. Yeah. I mean, so there's a whole trend with this, and people trying to, you know, break the code of the current system because everything old is bad.
Mm-hmm.
They feel the need, like, maybe they would do things that they wouldn't normally do just because they believe in it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to just tell her, like, I think you were raped. I told her.
You're trying to convince her she was raped.
And she said, no, I was not. I wanted to do it, but afterwards I didn't yuck.
Okay.
It was yucky. Didn't enjoy.
Did she, like, what was the experience post the sexual experience? Did she hang around, you know?
Well, this is a friend of hers, so they're still hanging out and buddies and stuff.
And so who, I imagine the friend was the initiator, or like...
Yeah, the friend, I
how
guess.
How did this all... Because is the friend a lesbian, or not really?
No, I guess bi.
Okay.
The friend's bi.
And maybe they got on this topic, and she's like, well, I've never been with a girl, and the friend was like, well, do you want to try?
I think there was just an understanding that they were buds, from what I remember, and... She didn't even know that the other girl had these feelings about her.
Oh, okay.
And they were hanging out making dinner, from what I remember. Now, I was drinking during this time, so I don't want to tell any fables here. But from what I remember, they were making dinner, and then the friend kind of just asked if she could kiss her. And said, sure. So then they started making out, and then the girl left. And... The girl who was raped, just because I can't say her name, I'm just going to say...
Let's call Sally, maybe.
Say that. She ended up calling the girl and saying, come back. So then she came back, and then it was getting down to funky town down there.
Okay, wow.
And then afterwards, she was kind of grossed out, I guess, by it.
Was there alcohol involved, I assume?
I would assume so. I don't know how there wouldn't be.
Oh, I think that she probably wanted her to come back because, at least... And again, I could be... kind of like you breathing life into something that's not really there. But judging from what you've said, it may seem that she's like, this is my opportunity. And then the girl left, you know, to try and see, maybe I'm queer, maybe I'm gay,
yeah, or
to show that I really am, you know, I'm down with the cause. And so she's like, well, get your ass back here. I'm already halfway there. Let's finish the job and see if I like it.
And I will say, I got some more perspective on this from another friend who said that I know for a fact that that's not her first time with a woman. So it was like, I'm going to try it. I didn't like it the first time. I'm going to try again.
I'm all about trying things at least twice. Everything I do, I've done at least twice.
Including chicks.
Well, I've never even done that once.
Okay.
But if I do like a new sport or something, usually the first time is a nightmare just because it's like system overload.
Yeah.
And so, like for example, like hot yoga, the first time I did it was an absolute nightmare. And I'm like, it cannot be this hard. Like, what the hell happened? So I made myself go back a second time. Then that's really when I got into it. I'm like, oh, okay, now I understand what's going on. So I feel like, you know, you really don't get a good grip of something unless you tried at least twice, just because the first time is just such a shock to the system. So maybe that's what she was thinking.
My initial thought was, no, you tend to know if you like, you know, ding dongs or jangers. But then I was thinking back to my own first time with a lady. I've never had any sort of confrontation,
yeah,
with a ding dong that wasn't mine.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
Okay.
But I didn't enjoy my first time with a janger either. In fact, it was so bad that I thought, if that's what it's like, if that's what every single one is like, then I don't want to do that ever again.
Yeah, but you also have to understand, you're dealing with a person who is probably putting herself through a lot of mental gymnastics, in the sense that, like, she is probably very straight and trying to convince herself that she's at least bicurious.
Yes, I think that's true.
So, you know, so she's putting pressure on, right. Yeah. And I think that because she is, I know this person, she's a white woman, and that's really not in style right now. So you kind of got to grab some extra ornaments on the side. You got to be gay, you got to be queer, you got to be lesbian, you got to be trans, you got to be a quarter African American. You got to be something, you got to bring something to the table. To be, because if you're so in the I'm oppressed, like if that's your game, you probably need to grab a few more groceries at the, you know, oppression Publix or whatever.
Bring something to the picnic. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's the vibe that I got. Now, my other friend said, no, I think you're looking too much into it. But
why would it be the case if she's so convinced that she likes male genitalia?
And she
feels somewhat guilty about it, it sounds like.
That's the vibe that I get.
And she keeps trying with women. It seems like she's pressuring herself to be a part of something that she wants to rep, but it's just not really her.
It's just not really her. Mm-mm. It's not her. It's not her.
Which is so bizarre that, like, you know, you think about like how horrible the '80s were for like gays and stuff like that, and to come out and your family, you know, disowns you, and it still happens today. But now it's literally the reverse, where people are trying to convince themselves they're gay.
Right. It's very odd. It has a lot of. You know, in the culture, you know, it's still a victimhood narrative, but I don't know. It's pretty cool. So much to the point where people are trying, even though they're not, like you said, they're trying to get those points or whatever. Just break. I think it just has to do with breaking traditionalism and you know, burying the past and finding new ways of existing and doing things.
I think that these people, and I could be wrong, but this is what I think of people who rep their politics so much that they're kind of empty vessels. Like, there's not really anything interesting about them, so they have to be diehard Trump, diehard SJWs or something. Like their politics becomes their religion.
Yeah, well, that's pretty true, yeah.
You know, and they really, it's like they're not into sports, you know, they're not playing, they're not really into like climbing the corporate ladder. They're not entrepreneurs. Like, they don't have any passion, so they're kind of like, well, I need something to get attention, and I need something to make me feel like I'm being a productive member of society, so I'm going to latch on to this group. And I feel like she's kind of gotten into something that it's fake pressure. No one is pressuring her to do this. She's pressuring herself
because she
it's
feels
a fake
like
vortex that she's putting herself through.
She feels the need to do this for whatever reason, because, you know, for whatever reason, more brownie points, just in her circle, if she believes something, and I kind of appreciate it too, because if she believes it that much, you see a lot of people talking smack but not participating,
but it's
not doing
though.
The work.
You could be an ally and not be gay, like you could.
But if you believe in it that much, still do it. I gotta give her props.
I gotta at least try. Give it a whirl.
She's walking the walk and talking the talk. You know what I mean? Not just chit-chatting online, but she's like, I'm going to get in there, slide into that peat bog.
Boots on the ground.
Face first. And I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to do it, and I'll be saved.
Okay. And so how did this interaction end?
Just went home.
I mean, did she, like, what was, in terms of the story, like, how did she close?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Drinking beers.
And that's when Will blacked out.
And she just said, eventually she just said, okay, I guess goodbye.
I love how loose-lipped she is. I love people like that. And I know you play this game really well. I do too, because I've seen you do it. I've seen you in action before. I don't know if you've ever seen me in action. I feel like you're too drunk usually to notice. But when someone starts divulging stuff like that, like TMI stuff, which I think most people would qualify or quantify as being inappropriate, like, you and her are not that close. In fact, you were adversarial in many different situations, as I've heard. So the fact that she's opening up to you so much, and knowing that you're probably going to open your mouth and tell a friend group that she used to be involved in, you know, she's taking chances she definitely shouldn't, but she's clearly drinking. But in order to...
And I will say, just in case, I didn't talk to anybody else about this. And I wanted to... I talked to you about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you happen to know this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, and if any friends are listening to this, they should know that potentially what you tell me may end up as content. I will respect your, I won't use your name.
Yeah, your identity. You'll protect your identity.
Or anything like that. But I do 20 hours of content
a week.
Of course. So unfortunately,
we're hungry for it. We need
it. Yeah, I need it.
But what I was going to say is, I know you're really good at this, and so am I, is that what you have to do when someone starts divulging information a lot too quickly is you have to act unsurprised but interested.
Mm-hmm. And ask questions.
And
keep it interrogative.
You cannot sound judgmental. So when you want to go, oh my God, you have to go, that's so interesting.
Yes.
And then they open up because they're like, oh, this person finds me intriguing. And they keep going and going down a hole. And then at the end of the conversation.
She's going down a hole, all right.
Yeah, she is. And the best thing that, and I've had people say this to me all the time because I know how to work it just like you, is they go, I can't believe I told you all that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, don't worry. It's all good. Like, you have to, but inside you were screaming. You're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, dig deeper, get more
but
and more and more.
But on the outside, cool as a cucumber.
Sure.
And you're just like, interesting. That's
amazing.
Great. Wow. That's so
tremendous.
You're so brave. That's so brave.
813-693-2124 hmbradio.com home_made_man Instagram and Twitter. I got so many followers from fighting with Monica this week.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was great. That third day really put me over the top. So
how do you feel about it?
Good.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, it's all good now.
Do you feel like you won?
Do I feel like I won? What is there to win?
No. Like, in terms of, like, who dominated the debate?
I mean, come on. You know.
I know.
You know, as your boy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Anna Hummel Radio. You can find Anna, and that number, you can reach either of us. If you have any question about music, which is the only questions you really got about your music choices,
Who it is? It's Gary Clark Jr. What is it called? Hedge roll?
Something
like
that. Rolling
Stone. Rolling Stone.
Put in Gary Clark Jr. Rolling Stone.
You'll find it. Bye.
All right, that's it. That's the show. Thank you so much, Anna. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Thank you to Frank Rivera. His show is up next, The Jazz Show, right here on Radio St. Pete, if you're listening over there, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you are listening on podcasts, thank you so much. Please do tell a friend about it. Please do share it. Please get in contact with us. We like that very much. My name is Will Coons. This has been HMB Radio, RadioSaintPete.com. Talk to you soon. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.